Good morning, everyone. Let's start our service today with a word of prayer. Lord, as we come to worship you and to hear from you today, would you speak to our hearts and enable our understanding that we might know you, love you, and serve you in Jesus' name. Amen. Our first hymn is going to be Angel Voices Ever Singing. And then we're going to go straight on to our second one. And come back and I'll speak to you again in a minute. watch today's video.
Father, help me do good today.
I want to shape this place to your design.
Help me see the value my work has to you.
May I model your kindness and patience.
So that you are recognised.
Yeah, good.
May they know Jesus through my presence.
May they see your light as I share mine.
Give me your joy and self-control.
So that your warmth touches those I meet.
Help me to be generous.
Quick to put others first.
Sharing clearly your love and grace.
Give me words to speak about you.
And courage to stand for justice and truth.
Whatever the day brings.
In my humanity, weakness, breakthrough.
Let my life overflow with you.
We return to our sermon series today with a reading from Colossians 3, verses 15 to 24. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace. And be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly, as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns and songs from the Spirit. Singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Wives, submit yourselves to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Fathers, do not embitter your children, or they will become discouraged. Slaves, obey your earthly masters in everything, and do it not only when their eye is on you and to curry their favour, but with sincerity of heart and reverence for the Lord. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for human masters, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. If I can just deal quickly with the elephant in the room on this passage before we move on to the point of the sermon. Verses 18 to 22 speak about certain hierarchical structures in society that we might wish to ignore. I'm not going to go into a discussion of these today. I might come back to it another time. But I just wanted to point out that the Apostle Paul wasn't necessarily addressing all people in all places at all times. He puts reciprocal responsibilities upon husbands and wives, children and parents. He doesn't encourage slavery, but he speaks to the existing context of his original readers. In his time, some of the congregation of the church he was writing to at Colossae were wives in a society where men had all the power. Some were the men who held that power. Some were children who were completely dependent. Some were fathers and mothers who could be a positive or negative influence on the child's life. And some were slaves. These are the situations Paul's readers find themselves in. We might wish he'd told them to fight to get out of these situations, to change these situations, but instead his concern is that they live in them in a way that's glorifying to God. So this passage speaks to us, whether we are powerful or powerless, and teaches us to live as members of God's kingdom in our own situations. But how are we to live? Paul says, whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Again, he says, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters, since you know that you'll receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. The first quote from verse 17 seems to be talking about church life. Paul's been talking about teaching and singing and life together. We do church in the name of Jesus. But the second quote from verse 23 to 24 is talking about something else, about everyday life, family life, work life. The people Paul wrote to were probably mostly slaves or household servants. They had no control over their lives, no control over their daily chores, no choice of work. What were they going to do? What were they supposed to do? Rebel? Complain? Do the bare minimum to scrape by? Trudge through daily life, just waiting until they could be released, if that time ever came? Many of us have been there. Paul says no. He says, see your work as work for God, work that matters. But the same applies to those out of work. We don't live in isolation, shut in our houses with no contact with the outside world, not even in lockdown. God delights in your housework. He delights in your conversations with friends. He delights in your care for your family. When we do it in the name of Jesus, we're his representatives on earth. So the good news is that these words apply to all of us. Are you in a position of powerlessness? Is your boss unfair or unappreciative? Are you working at home for your family who don't seem to notice? There's good news. Your boss is not your true boss. They may not see the effort you put in, but God does. Does your work sometimes seem like a slog? Well, if that's the place God's called you to, you have work to do there for him, a reason for being there, a purpose in that place. Or are you the one in a position of power? Are you in control, looked up to? There's good news. There's one still further up than you. Your underlings do not live and die by your word. You are not the be-all and end-all. You have an opportunity to be a channel of God's blessing to those you have power over. An opportunity to care, to respect, to encourage, to show God's mercy. And a responsibility to do that. And if you don't, well, they can take it to a higher authority. You are not the boss. Whatever you do is important to God. Powerless or powerful, your work, your life, your family is important to God. Ecclesiastes 9 verse 10 says, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. So as you work with all your heart, working for God, what difference might that make in your daily life? We're going to hear from another of our members today, telling us a little about God's work in their own life. And I've asked John to speak to us this morning because he's going through a change in his circumstances, and he can look back at 40 years at work and rejoice in what God's done in that time and in that place. But he can also look forward to new opportunities and what God could do in there as well. So John, thanks for coming on Zoom and doing this interview with me today.
You're more than welcome, Helen.
Can you tell us something about a normal day at your workplace?
I know normal day at the workplace is arrive on the station, ring our control office at York to find out if there's any changes to the service, any likely problems that we're going to experience during the shift. and then hand over from the person that's been on duty any staff sickness, anything like that.
Cool. And what do you like about it there?
Well, I've done 40 years. 40 years, 1 month. And it's something that I've always wanted to do, to work on the railway. Marion's dad worked on the railway. I used to enjoy trains as a youngster. My dad and my granddad used to take me train spotting. So I saw all the old steam engines and diesels. And as I say, the interest was there from a very young age, when my dad would take me over to Peterborough and we'd watch the Flying Scotsman and the Mallard and all the old steam trains. And as I say, even today, I love the smell of steam engines on a station.
Do you get a lot of them?
Yes, we have charters, sometimes with Pullman coaches. One of the famous companies that I was lucky enough, my mum and dad, when they were alive, bless them, paid for me on my 50th birthday to go on the Northern Belle, which is the same company that run the Orient Express out of Victoria.
Aww.
And it's that type of thing. And me and Marion went from Northampton through Kensington Olympia, all round Surrey, Sussex, Middlesex, and then back up to Northampton. Breakfast and dinner. And it was out of this world.
Lovely.
Yeah.
So what's been a pressure point at your workplace for you?
Well, as I say, it's working with the staff. Some of them believe in God, and they know that, because I've always run an open door policy for any staff that need to chat about anything, and that chat has always been within the four walls of my office. It's not gone outside to any other members of staff. Those that believe, we've prayed for. Those that haven't believed, but they've still come to me and asked for prayer, I've said, well, let's do it together. And it's helped. It's actually helped them, you know, if they've got a member of their family passing away or something like that. You know, just talking to God. And a lot of them said, thank you ever so much. I feel a lot lighter now just talking about it with you.
Wow. Are there any other ways that your work life's been affected by your faith?
Yes, certainly. I mean, when we have disruption, and it can be 3 or 4 hours, because our trains go from Glasgow, Edinburgh, Inverness or Aberdeen to King's Cross, they can be greatly delayed. And in my position as senior supervisor, the managers would go home and then we'd get a call that there's major disruption. And at the end of the day, it was down to me to arrange taxis, hotels, meet the customers, listen to the complaints, and get them on a forward connection. But having that sort of pressure, I would actually turn to prayer and I would pray about it. And God actually helped me many, many times. You know, it could have been a lot, lot worse, but, you know, it was good that I was able to pray, and God was there amongst it. And yeah,
good.
There is a God.
There certainly is. What do you think has been God's purpose for you there?
Well, to meet people, to help people, and not just staff, customers as well, you know. A lot of people can actually get off the train if they've been heavily delayed, very, very angry, and they start calling you names and being personal. But I said to staff over the years, just listen to what they got to say. And I used to listen, and they would be calling me everything under the sun, especially because being ginger as well. And because I never used to bite back, especially when they got personal, I'd just listen and listen. And then in the end, because I never answered back, they would turn around and say, well, I realise it's not your fault, you know. Had I have been wanting to argue back, then it could have got nasty and I'd have had letters of complaint and everything else. But as I say, I used to listen, and, you know, 9 times out of 10, well, I realise it's not your mistake. And you felt like, say, well, you know, but you didn't. You just said, okay, thank you, you know. And but as I say, you develop a skin like a rhino. And that's why I say to the staff, don't let it affect you personally. Develop a hard skin like a rhino and you'll get through it. And as I say, trusting in God to see you through it.
Great. And a week away from your retirement.
Yes.
Do you have any specific plans for that? Looking forward?
Well, looking forward, I mean, the main plan was to go to Epping and Ongar Preserve Railway as a volunteer. And they have steam engines and diesels on there. But of course, because of this illness, pandemic, should I call it, that the actual preserved railways, as they call them, aren't allowed to run at the moment, only like the mainline railways.
Right.
But preserved railways, they've had to stop running until they get the go-ahead that they can open again. And hopefully they will be able to open again, so long as they haven't run out of money, because they rely on people travelling, especially this time of year, you know, to maintain the railways. But as I say, it's Epping and Ongar Railway. I'd like to do something with British Heart Foundation and also cancer research. But I planned for sort of 4 days out of 7 and then 3 days off with Marion. So
you're going to be busy.
Well, that's a secret. I mean, I've known so many people on the railway that have retired, you know, and within 6 months they've passed away. I don't want to be one of them. Not that I'm frightened of dying, because in the words of the song, the only way is up.
So when you're not working, what do you think your front line might be?
When I'm not working?
Yeah.
Well, as I say, I just enjoy being married to Marion, going out and about, Costas mainly. And getting in the garden.
Do you have any sense of God's purpose for the future?
Well, as I say, you've got to trust in the Lord and pray about it and listen. So you know, he will direct you in ways. And if it's God's will, it will be done.
What pressure points do you see ahead of you? Do you see sort of things ahead of you that might become difficult, that might sort of...
Well, as I say, I mean, becoming a pensioner, I mean, I've been lucky. The railway pension is quite good, and I've been in it for the full 40 years. I mean, the main reason of me going, they turned around and said, you don't pay anymore, it will be banked or frozen until you take it. But that would then be making interest for them. So I said, no, no.
No, I'll have it, thanks.
I will have it in my bank account, making interest for me. But, yeah, I mean, you just got to see how the finances go. I mean, I can't foresee a problem because it's a good pension scheme. And then I'm 62 now. When I'm 66, I'll then get the state pension as well, plus my bus passes and that. Not that I'll be using it.
And you've certainly got it all planned out, so you're not going to be bored.
Well, no, I mean, that's a secret. You know, you've got to plan what to do. And as I say, I'm hoping that the Epinanunga Railway will actually run, reopen. I mean, failing that, I'll have to go across to, what is it? There's one over Colchester Way as well, that when I spoke to them. Yeah, XBR, we'll have you, you know. Because I get a lot of volunteers that have never actually ever worked on the railway, but they prefer them to have had some experience with British Rail, you know?
And you've certainly got that. So how can we pray for you, John?
Well, you know, pray that that God will lead the way forward in my life. And that I hear his calling and carry out what God wants me to do for him.
Hey, can I do that now? Do you mind if I pray for you now?
No, please do.
Let's pray. Father, thank you for John. Thank you for the work that he's done over the last 40 years and his witness to you. Father, would you bless him in this time as he comes through his last week at work, in his beginning his retirement? Would you really bless him in that? Would you lead him and guide him in the ways that you want him to go in the future? In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Thanks, John.
Yeah, thank you, Helen.
I'm going to stop recording now. Let's pray. Lord, we confess to you those times our work has been nothing but a chore and our lives have been marred by bitterness or complaining. Forgive us, Father, and in the smallness and insignificance of our daily tasks, may we see ourselves having the privilege and responsibility of working for you. As we scatter to our front lines, we thank you for the many opportunities to do good in the world. Whatever the tasks of our week, wherever we are, we pray that you'll work through them and they'll bear fruit for your kingdom. May we do all things attentive to your presence and with a heart set on joyfully serving you. Amen. We're going to sing again now. And this song is a new one to us. It's called All of My Plans. And I will show it to you from my computer.
All of my plans, all of my pride, the work of my hands, the shame I can't hide. It falls before your throne. Hopes that I hold, fears I can't shake, lies I've been told, chains I can't break. It falls before your throne. I lay it down. fire to blaze, thundering voice calling my name, Jesus, my joy, I fall before your throne. And I lay it down, I lay it down. All of my meaning is in you. I lay it down, I lay it down. All of my meaning is in you. And I'm handing over all that I am carrying.
We're going to have a time of prayer again now. And as we did last week, those of you on church online, please join in an open prayer session as we come to God together. I'll open with some words and then leave you some space to pray in your hearts or type in the chat box as you feel right. Father God, we pray for those close to us. For children and parents, sisters and brothers, friends and neighbours, and for those especially in our thoughts today. In the lives of those we love, your kingdom come, Lord, your will be done. Father, we pray for those in need around us, those for whom life is a bitter struggle, those whose lives are clouded by death or loss, pain or disability, discouragement or fear, shame or rejection. In the lives of those in need, your kingdom come, Lord, your will be done. Father, we pray for our country, for those in leadership, those who make our laws and shape our life, who keep the peace and administer justice, for those who teach and those who heal, and all who serve the community. In the life of our land, your kingdom come, Lord, your will be done. Father, we pray for the created world, for those who rebuild where there has been destruction, for those who fight hunger, poverty, and disease, for those who have power to bring change for the better and to renew hope. In the life of our world, your kingdom come, Lord, your will be done. Father, we pray for your church in its stand with the poor, in its love for the outcast and the ashamed, in its service to the sick and the neglected, in its proclamation of the gospel in this land and in this place. In the life of your church, your kingdom come, Lord, your will be done. Father, would you hear these prayers and those said in our hearts through the power of the Holy Spirit and in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. Psalm 90 says this: Lord, you have been our dwelling place throughout all generations. Before the mountains were born, or you brought forth the whole world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. You turn people back to dust, saying, return to dust, you mortals. 1,000 years in your sight are like a day that has just gone by, or like a watch in the night. Yet you sweep people away in the sleep of death. They are like the new grass of the morning. In the morning it springs up new, but by evening it is dry and withered. Teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Relent, O Lord. How long will it be? Have compassion on your servants. Satisfy us in the morning with your unfailing love, that we may sing for joy and be glad all our days. Make us glad for as many days as you have afflicted us, for as many years as we have seen trouble. May your deeds be shown to your servants, your splendor to their children. May the favor of the Lord our God rest on us. Establish the work of our hands for us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. Amen. We're going to sing our final hymn, which is Joyful, Joyful. And after that, I hope to see as many of you as can make it on Zoom.